the end of this homily that it will become clear why I decided to extend the passage. The Father and I are one. If we'd have just left it there, we'd have sort of left it at the point of the early church's departure. And what ensued was 4 or 5 centuries of intense wrangling and argument and debate and conflict about what it could possibly mean that Jesus and the Father are one. And we will get, certainly, to this claim of the Jews that Jesus was committing blasphemy by claiming to be God's Son. And we are going to set to one side and not really address it the issue of, within Scripture, did Jesus actually claim to be God's Son? That is another fairly complex issue. Probably not time to deal with it here. But we're gonna just play it straight. Jesus claiming to be God's Son, and why did that upset people so much, and why was it so deeply misunderstood? One of the things that you probably know I talk about all the time, and maybe the easiest way to understand that is what I say at our offertory, which is, let's make our offerings with gladness because Jesus invites us to share in the same spirit that filled his heart and mind with love. Or then I say, or as Paul said, let the same mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. I want us as a congregation to begin and or to follow this man we call Jesus, and I want us to allow within our own imaginations the possibility that we might be loving people like Jesus is loving. And this is in itself a sort of touchy theological issue. And the way I would talk about this theological issue is, do we understand Jesus as different from us in kind or in degree? Huge difference. If Jesus is different from us in kind, and that's usually the way he's talked about, it means that he is sort of a separate kind of being. We say he's both God and human, and yet he's not exactly like us. He's a third kind of being. That would be different in kind. Different in degree would say, well, Jesus is a human being, and he has all of the characteristics of a human being, but part of what he does as a human being is he realizes certain potentials, possibilities that are open to all human beings, but Jesus realized them. That would be Jesus different in degree. He's like us, but he does something that we might do, but he does it better. And the way I've been thinking about it for quite a while now, and it's different from the early church. The early church was still sort of working pretty hard with a Greek philosophical framework that, in a sense, dealt with substances. And how do you get a God substance into a human being? And can the God substance still, can it be there and the guy still be thought of as a human being? And they around and around and around, century after century after century. And in the end, it still doesn't really make much sense. The way I've been thinking about it is, one of the ways to understand anything is to understand what they're in relationship to. And one of the emerging ways we understand reality these days, everything is interconnected. Everything is deeply in relationship to everything else. Some of those relationships are primary, some of them are sort of secondary or peripheral, but we are relational beings. And in that, I think, is the key to our understanding how we are connected to God. We are in relationship to God. And that is not, I mean, it's a physical relationship because we don't exist apart from the ongoing sustenance of God, even at our physical level. But it's also, we are in relationship to God as spiritual beings. We inquire. We use metaphors to try to identify this part of ourselves, our hearts. that can be hard and cold, or open and warm and perceive and experience the world around us with compassion. All of that has to do with our relationship with the divine presence that undergirds everything. And what I think we affirm of Jesus is that he was in perfect relationship with that divine presence, so that it filled his life, it filled his mind, it filled his heart, and it guided his actions. And so we say, in him the love of God was made known. What is a potential human relationship was perfected in Jesus. But why did people think of that as blasphemy? Here begins a rather unfortunate string of errors and really perversity that continues, I would say, to this day. And the reason I think that people heard the claim of Jesus as blasphemous is that to an egocentric person, the claim that you are the Son of God can mean only one thing: power to the ego. Really? So you're God's son? And to the egocentric person, that person is now going, yeah, I'm God. I can do anything I want. I can kill you. I can turn you into a toad. I mean, it's basically like a wizard or a witch or something. It's about power. And so Jesus does an interesting thing here. I mean, you know, he puts his own sonship in the context of Psalm 82, where those to whom the psalm is addressed are called gods. But it's kind of verbal play. Jesus did that a lot. He was kind of fencing with them and was kind of catching them up in a trick. I think the real issue is deeper and more important than that, is that they were hearing Jesus as an egocentric person, claiming to be God and then claiming all the power that went with that. And what Jesus knew is that the closer you get to God, the more you are in a relationship of love and service with the world around you. Your own ego will be progressively dismantled and let go of, or put in a place of relative unimportance as you get about the business of loving. To the people whose minds are connected only to egocentric power, the claim of Jesus will, of course, sound blasphemous. But if you really understand what Jesus is talking about, and you really understand what Jesus is inviting all of us into, it is so far away from power. It is Jesus at the end of his life saying, "You call me Lord and Master, and rightly, for so I am." I'm not going to be disingenuous. I understand the way love works. I understand God's presence among us. I understand the way power works in the world. My eyes and my heart are open. I'm not going to pretend they're not. You call me Lord and Master, and rightly, for so I am. And here I am on my knees washing your feet as a parable of service. Because that's the way lordship shows itself. That's the way being the Son of God shows itself. It's the last thing in the world any egocentric person would want. Because it just takes you out of the game of self-satisfaction and puts you in a position of service and compassion and love. You're only a man, you claim to be God. We still do it all the time. The church just stepped back, and because it wanted to protect the uniqueness of Jesus, it really said, if you're a human being, you cannot claim to be like Jesus. That's blasphemy. You're only a man, you're claiming to be like Jesus. That's blasphemy. And then we go down a few more centuries. Well, and then it's, well, you're only a layperson. You can't be a priest, because you're a layperson and I'm a priest. So there's a boundary between us. Wherever you hear those boundaries being maintained, it's about power. It's about power, and that's all it's about. They try to dress it up as, you know, very sort of sanctimonious, but it's about power. And if we understood that, we would understand that the invitation, and I believe it with all my heart, that it is the invitation of Jesus to us, not to be mere worshipers, not to be mere sheep in the worst sense of the word that only do what they're told to do. Do you hear any of that in Jesus' teaching? Not a bit. He was always, he never said, I'm special, obey me and worship me. He said, what do you think? There's two guys walking down the street. One of them gets beat up. A bunch of other guys walking past him. And somebody, like a Samaritan, helps him out. Who proved the neighbor? They go, well, a Samaritan. Well, so Jesus, like every bit of his teaching, was trying to activate some place within the heart of his hearers so that they could begin to see and think and act from their own wisdom, the wisdom that is of God in every human heart. If this is blasphemy, let us all join and be more vigorous. It is so far from blasphemy. And if we could begin to think of ourselves as human beings, if the message was not always you're terrible, you're broken, you're alienated, you're cut off, you're desperately rotten, bad creatures, and why did God even make us? But rather, we are gifted beings whose powers have only begun to be explored. And we are called, we are invited by the wisest among us on an upward path to aspire to be like Christ, to aspire to have our hearts filled with love. Blasphemy? People of power will count it so. Let us be different. Let us welcome the invitation of Jesus to open our hearts to the presence of God. And let's see what happens when we join our Lord, join Jesus in that blasphemous path of God's love.